So anyway, things were comparatively speaking. Then when Baba left his body, I very seriously asked him, I said, what would he, because I'd ask him, Tommy, what do you want me to do with me, Mom? He'd never say. And, the most important thing that happened in San Francisco was, now decide what to do with mayor mom, and legally. John was out of the picture, and I wanted to put in Baba's name. So I thought we could do it in San Francisco. And we called a lawyer, and he said, Baba can't, he can't own, he's an Oriental alien, and he can't own property in California. That was stupid, but anyway, that was the version of it. So when they announced it, we were all standing there, and Baba, everybody else was, ooh, and Baba, he didn't care. He laughed. He said, all right, then, right away. And I was standing in the back, and he said, put in Agni's name. I said, uh-uh, I don't want any property. I'm finished with owning things. I don't want any, Second time. I said, no, I don't want it, Baba, I don't want it. And then Adi came and said, shut up, that is Baba's orders. And while I was talking to him, he had said the third time, so it was clinched. I was very unhappy about it, so we went back to Mayor Mount, and I wrote him a long letter, and a very frank one. I said, Baba, I said, if you're universal, everybody's yours. So it doesn't matter whether the Baba people are or who comes. I said, Baba lovers, I said, there aren't any Baba lovers. You said nobody knows anything about love, so I'm not going to limit it to Baba lovers. I don't like ashrams. I had a share of ashrams. I don't like group work. I've had that. And I just put it very bluntly. I said, if you don't like this, you get somebody else. Pick somebody else out, and I'll pick up my cats and dogs, and I'll just leave. And I got a telegram or a letter, I forget which, that said, dear beloved watchdog, whatever you say about Mayor Ma is okay with me. And that was all. And that was it. No lecture, nothing at all. And I had stipulated very stiffly that I said, anybody who's in trouble, there are a lot of poverty people and abused people also in that part of California, the Mexican people. It was really sad. And I had worked with them previously, and I loved the work. And so they would come up, they'd come up sometimes, any hour of the night or day for help. So I thought, I want to work with people like that. And so he gave the okay. So then I went into war on poverty, that was a federal government thing. And then they put me in charge of a whole territory, which was supposed to be very strictly poverty. And I helped to the housing situation, had the federal government come in and knock down the houses. I said, I'd been in Baghdad in the leper colony. They lived in better houses than these people did. So the government sent an inspector in these huge ranches, very wealthy, and they oppressed the people terribly. And then I worked with the high school kids and got all sorts of organizations going for them and got more legal rights. Then I got tired of the bureaucracy. So I wrote a letter to Washington and told them why I was leaving. And they sent them a representative from Washington to talk to me about it. And they offered me the job of director of the whole program. I said, uh-uh, too much bureaucracy, too much boondoggling. So I quit that. And I said, what does Baba want me to do? So I decided that he said, drugs. Get this generation of youngsters off of drugs. So then I went to Los Angeles and made a study of the program there. And I came back and I did that for about 3 years. And it was very effective. And a lot of the Baba people at the University of Santa Barbara heard about Baba. I think Alan Cohen talked and somebody else did. Then they heard about Mayor Mom. They used to come every weekend, and they were very good. They got off. Then when I had my program, they would come evenings and help talk to the kids and get them off. So that got up to, 73, and the work was much too tiring. So I went back to teaching, substitute teaching, where I was kindergarten through high school. And then without them knowing it, I try to instill them with basic things like consideration for other people, loving other people, and using their own mind on making a decision and not doing it because everybody else was doing it. Because that's a problem with kids. They do what their peers do, you know. And so, and then people come up to Mayor Mount, but I don't have any big programs at all. And anybody who comes has to work. I said, this is Baba's place and Baba's work. So that's my stipulation. So that's it. And I had a visit from Bill LePage, and he insisted on my coming.
But before that, there were others also who were tempted to want to come to be Mayor Mount, isn't it? You talked about Red Indians.
About what?
About Indians.
Oh, yes, they're too much, yeah. Yeah, there was a very interesting, that whole area is very sacred to the Chumash Indians. And the grandson of the grandpa Chumash came up. As a matter of fact, 6 years before that, they were settling in a public park in a little Simi Valley, which is about 50 miles away. And the supervisor of the area said they could do it. But then the people around objected. They said, we don't want these Indians settling here. So they took it to the supervisor board, and they voted to throw them out. And when I heard that, I was so angry, this injustice. Because here we come there, and we take the land away from the American Indian, and we make slaves of them, and then we have the nerve to keep treating them that way. So I was so indignant that I dashed down to the park, and I told them, I said, look, if they throw you out, and you need a place to go, I said, I got 100 acres of wilderness. I said, you come there and settle. And I left word, and Grandpa wasn't there at the time. Then I went to the supervisor right there, and I told him the same thing. And he was angry, too, but he was in the minority. So they didn't turn up, but I heard that they had been donated some 40 acres further north. So I understood why they didn't. But some years later, this young grandson turns up. And he said, are you the lady who's going to offer us some land for the Chumash way back in such and such a year? And I said, yeah. So he said that his grandpa had a place and that he was going to start another one just a few miles north of me. And but he said he wanted to come and see me and so forth. Then his cousin, who was also grandson, came up. And he was the medicine man for that whole area. And he came up several times, and I told him the same thing. And he said also, are you the one who offered? And I said, yeah. And he said, you can settle there, but for goodness sake, don't put any buildings up, because that you'll get me in trouble with the bureaucrats. We don't need any buildings. We don't need any teepees. We only want a place where we can come and pray. And something happened to him. I haven't heard from him for some time. And he dedicates himself to traveling from Carmel, which is way in the south, way up in the north, way down to near Los Angeles, just taking care of his people. A very beautiful man. And he can't even afford to keep his wife and child with him because he doesn't have any money. So I have the funny feeling that maybe Baba wants Mayormont somehow connected with the American Indians and awakening them to their old traditions and their religion. Someone had written a book who knows a lot about the Indian, that they believe that when a great spiritual teacher from the Orient, from the East, comes out to the West, that's a signal for them to awaken. And strange enough, I've noticed that more and more of them are getting their independence and standing up for themselves and coming forward. And it jived with that trip that Baba made across, and we got off the train to contact. Kitty knows about that. Where Baba, there were two Indians, and they gave a signal to each other, and he came back on the train. But I have a strange feeling that, and that whole area is sacred land for the Chumash. They could fight any place else, but they couldn't fight there. And then one time, when Baba called me into the what I call the Baba house, and he said, and only Adi was there. He said, I need to know that Mayormont that I'm very happy here, and I'm very pleased with it. And then he said, I want her to know that it has a very spiritual atmosphere. And then I said, very stupidly, well, Baba, you know, in case you don't know, I'm not a saint. I'm not responsible for it. Clap music. Mayormont has a very spiritual atmosphere. And then I said, well, would it be the Chumash Indians, Baba? Because I said, this is their area. And he didn't say yes and didn't say no, but he looked, you know, kind of wise about it. So I had a funny feeling, I don't know why, that somehow that is going to be very instrumental in bringing the American Indian back to their old culture. And their teachings are beautiful, you know. They're very much like that of the East. Very much. Someone did the American Indians and the Oriental philosophy. They're almost parallel. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen it done anywhere else. And they've been repressed and told to give up their religion because the good old Christians and the missionaries want to convert them. And so they have deliberately denied their religion outward. They practice it only in great secret. That's right. And they give the impression of being stupid and dull and sitting around on street corners, but they say there's some beautiful wise men wandering around under the skies. So wouldn't that be fun if...
What about his last trick? Getting her here and getting Bill LePage there. When did Bill LePage came? How long ago? Just recently on his trip?
Well, when what?
Bill LePage, when did he visit you?
He was there, what was it, 2 months ago? Oh, wait a minute, May, June, July. I think it was in, must have been in July. I think it was in July he came through. He brought his son up, William, also, he's living up in Berkeley.
Michael.
Michael, yeah. And the first time I met, I may have met him just casually, but I didn't remember him. And, He sympathized with all my problems, but he thought he might have some answers to my financial part of it. And the thing that puzzles me is Baba told him what he should do to make money, but he never told me. Now, why is that? Discrimination against women.
I'm most excited about the fact that Baba got you here, and I'm longing to meet you. I had you long ago, and cards and letters, but I wanted to see your man. and embrace you.
What happened to John Cook?
Poor guy. He went from bad to worse. Oh, the story I forgot to tell was, I don't remember just exactly chronologically when it was, but it was before this. He wanted the money back. Baba said he wanted to meet with me and John and settle the matter. And John didn't come. And I guess he was still in Europe. I don't know where he was. And Baba asked me where he was. I said, Baba, I don't know. He's in your pocket. I don't know where he is. And he said, John was mad. I said, well, we know that. I thought he was joking. And then John didn't turn up. So it was either that same time. Yes, it was that same time. It was at Myrtle Beach. And Baba kept calling me in every day for half an hour. And he said, and I never saw him so angry. He stood up and he said, I don't want John connected with Mayor Baba, with Mayor Mount. And he said, he doesn't have love. And he went on and on. And he said, now you must get him out. Get him out of the picture entirely. And then he told me, talked about it, and then at the end he said, now do you know what to do? And I said, no, Bob, I'm all confused. So I walked out of the room. And then next day he called me in again, another half hour. It goes for the same thing. Each time, John was this and John was that. He must be completely dissociated. And he must never come to Marymount again. And so this went on for several weeks. And at the final one, he asked me, now, do you know what you have to do? And I said, I'm still confused, Bob. I have no idea what to do, because it meant either paying John back or giving him the property or something. And then he finally said, whatever you do, do not use coercion. Mm. And I thought, well, what does that mean? If I sued him, if I went to court, I had the legal document where he had said it was a donation. There's no doubt about it. But he said no coercion. So I interpreted coercion to mean no law court. I think now I made a mistake because John was illegal. So I had to pay the whole amount. So I had to take on the whole thing again. Mm. And John went up north and he started to drink more and take more drugs. And finally, the poor guy, he was so bad that the authorities were after him because he was having a lot of young people in and he was corrupting them. Heading out drugs. He had plenty of money, you know. He had his big house. He had all these young people swirling around and just handing out what they wanted. So the authorities were after him, so he escaped to Mexico. And he died about 3 or 4 years ago, I think, in isolation and still crippled. He died in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how long ago it was. Yeah, I was very sad. And I've often been puzzled because he was weak, obviously, and he did things he shouldn't have, but I know a lot of people even worse. Baba never got so angry with him. I don't know whether he did that to John, or maybe he did that to make me take on my financial burden again. I don't know which it was. But,
No, he didn't want John's association, you see.
None at all.
That's his own reason.
So I don't know.
Baba's reason.
And yet you knew him. He was a sweet guy. He was harmless.
I just saw him once.
He was just weak. He was very weak. But then that's pardonable, isn't it?
Sorry.
Everything is pardonable.
It's pardonable. Because, real criminals and crooks, Baba forgives very quickly. I know he said he loved saints, but he adored sinners. And I understand that because one of my jobs was getting jobs for hardcore unemployable. They were ex-convicts and any dregs of the, you know, society. And I got jobs for them. I bullied the employers and told them they were discriminating until they all got jobs. And they were beautiful people. They swung around from being, you know, violent and so forth until they, I think that if they have energy that you can work with them. And they'd completely swing around and they'd be so grateful because somebody took an interest in them, you know. I mean, it was so wicked. They'd put them on parole. Then one guy came in, he said, "Ma'am, you got to get me a job in 2 weeks' time or I'll go back to the clink." And I said, "Well, what's the matter?" I said, "Aren't you free?" "Nope, I got to get a job." I said, "Are they helping you, the parole officer?" "Nope, I got to get it myself." I said, "How can you get a job when you've got a criminal record, police record?" "I don't know, but I got to get one, and you got to help me." And they literally do that to these poor people. Isn't that awful? So I said, "Well, you sit down, and I'm going to get you a job. It's the last thing I do." And I did. I used a little bullying, but I got him a job. And he came in with tears streaming. "Man, you're the first one to ever treat me like a human being." And when you see a big, tough man weeping, it just breaks your heart. And I was ready to weep, and so I said, "Well, come on, you are a human being, aren't you? Come on, put your shoulder back and spit in their eyes. Look at them talk down to you. You're as good as they are." And he walked out there with his shoulders back. He was going to be a big, proud man. And he was so pathetic. And everybody treats him like a, you know, like a criminal. I don't like that. Our society is no compassion at all. But anyway, that's the end of my story. Maybe it's not the end yet, but anyway.